It's Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you. You know what else I'm thankful for? Athletic Greens.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's nice when a sponsor of your program is something that you use voluntarily.
I'm with you on with the Athletic Greens. I mean, they've been sort of a mainstay sponsor for us. And it's as authentic as it gets because we use this every single day. Both you and I do.
Both of us do. It's just the perfect way to start the day. And I should follow this up and end this with saying I'm doing the whole pound water intermittent fast. That has begun. Ooh.
Well, the nice thing about the Athletic Greens, though, is you drink it in the morning, and you mix it, and you shake it, and the first thing you do is just, boom, you set your day off right, not just with the 75 minerals and vitamins that are in the powder, but you are just chugging water as well. So, boom, you start it off right there.
One tasty scoop of AG1 contains, as Oliver said, 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, a multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and it tastes good.
That's an important part. Tastes really good. I dig it.
It's a great way to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go ahead and visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, athleticgreens.com, most important part, /daddyissues, to help you and to help us.
Cavalry Audio.
Tell me when you're recording.
Okay, I'm recording.
Hey! Hey!
Hey there, pal.
Hey, pal.
How you doing there, Mr. Land Mogul of Albuquerque?
Yeah, man. It's been a mad dash. This is going to be a little shorty podcast running around Albuquerque. I bought a couple houses.
That sounds really impressive. Should I be as impressed as it sounds?
No, because they're little. They're really tiny. And it's in our investment properties. You know, I'm just trying to expand my portfolio.
Awesome, dude.
It's been fun, though. I think I'm loving real estate. I kind of want to get out of the acting game and cash in, you know, pull out all my 401k stuff, take the tax penalties and all that, and just go into real estate, start buying real estate, and it's fun. I love it.
But you want to go into real estate for yourself. You don't want to become a realtor for others. Like a middleman.
No, but by the way, I would crush as a real estate agent. I would crush.
I don't think so. I think you're too nice, and I think you'd be tough on the hard sell. I think you would take pity in people, and you would not try to maximize what a transaction could be.
No, you know what? You know who I'd be? I'd be as real as they come, because basically a real estate agent is just trying to sell you a house. No matter what, you know, it's like, oh, look at this. This is nice. And this is nice. I would walk into a home with a client and I'd be like, oh, we're fucking out. We're gone. We don't even need to look anymore. This is not it. This is gross. You don't want it. We're out of here.
Doesn't it amaze you sometimes? And I hate the word amazing because it's overused. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wrote a whole column on this one time for the Sporting News about how, you know, the appetizer at Houlihan's is not amazing. Amazing should be reserved right. for truly amazing things, like an incredible sunset or a lunar landing or, you know, a cat doing a Sudoku puzzle. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, your co-star in this show you're doing and their willingness to be so open, that's not amazing. That's just like doing your job. Amazing is just been completely downgraded in my mind.
Yes. Yeah, but what about if it's an appetizer at like the French Laundry? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, yes.
Can an appetizer be amazing? Can you eat a piece of food?
No, it shouldn't be.
Well, that's not fair though, Joe. I mean, think about it. Like,
it should be great. This was great. That.
What about incredible? What about incredible?
Incredible is borderline getting into the category of amazing, I think. I think incredible is like, oh my God.
Okay, can I challenge you just for a second? Because it's also about personality or the individual. Because if I'm a foodie, and this is part of my life, meaning it's a passion of mine, then can't I use the word amazing and incredible and epic to describe something that I'm passionate about? Meaning I have a piece of fish or a piece of protein, of steak that's, it's so fucking incredible. I've never had anything like it in my life and it's amazing. No?
I just think there's got to be a way to convey how special something, special, that's a good word. My God, this appetizer mm-hmm. was special.
Okay.
Now you're getting into something different because there are specials daily at restaurants. So you have to differentiate. You can't say, wow, this special was special.
Sure, but like Joe Carter hitting the home game-winning home run in the World Series, right? Like,
what a good pull by you.
It was an incredible moment, amazing, all this. But you talk to my wife, who could give a shit about that. She's probably like, how's that amazing? She could appreciate it, but she doesn't feel it in her guts.
Yeah, no, I think you've got me here. I think you've got me over a barrel. I'm not completely against what you're saying. I just think that people use the word amazing way too much.
I agree. Okay, sorry. I digress, or you digress.
But so where I was going with this was, let's say, and I'm not going to name names or bring somebody up, and give the example of who this person might or might not be, because it will be way too obvious to that person. But let's just say you had I'm in my new office. If you had a decorator, mm-hmm. and this is along the lines of you walking into that house with a prospective buyer as the mm-hmm. realtor, and instead of just sugarcoating what is probably not a great house, mm-hmm. you're being honest. Well, let's say there's a decorator. What drives me crazy is when the decorator will put something down and go, oh my God, I love it. Oh my God, I love it. This is unbelievable. This is perfect. And you're like, yeah, I think the table's a little bit too big there. They're like, yeah, I agree. Let's get it out of here. It's that stuff drives me bananas.
Yeah, I get that. Well, that's just basically just being totally full of shit.
Right. But this is also promoting themselves. Like, they brought the table, and so they're trying to sell you, wedge a table in that they're probably left with in their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to push it onto you. And only they're basically testing your ability to be honest and mm-hmm. say, instead of going like I typically do, even if I don't like it, I've been like, yeah, no, that's great. And then boom, you own it. Instead of going, yeah, I don't know. I know you're selling this thing and I know you love it, but it's just not for me. I don't like it. And then, but when you do that, then they just shift. Yeah, you're right. You know, you're right. Totally. Yeah, that's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think, honestly, that's something that I have to work on in my life, which is just being too nice, I guess. I don't want to ever hurt anybody's feelings. I need to be a little bit more direct when it comes to even things like that.
Me too.
I have a tattoo on my arm, okay? I don't think I've ever told you this story. I've wanted to get a tattoo of something that symbolized my kids for a long time. And, you know, I love the sea. I love anchors. You know what I mean? I know it's typical, but I wanted to incorporate something of the ocean with my kids, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. I for years, there's this tattoo artist. I won't do names, but
hopefully
he's incredible.
Not a listener. Yes.
He's not, but he's really an incredible artist. I mean, he's dope. And I actually bought one of his paintings, and he's amazing. So this is not even his fault, okay? And I go in there and, you know, he's extremely handsome. He's like hot. He's got tattoos, his neck and his hair. I mean, he's like a really handsome dude, like almost intimidatingly, like you want to be cool and you don't want to, you know what I mean?
He's, yeah. Oh yeah. You know, he's
super
cool. I've
spent
most of my life like that, by the way. I've looked at everybody like, yeah, they're cooler than me.
And he designed something, and I'd waited 6 months for this appointment, and you know, we're sort of I go in for the thing, and I tell him what I kind of want, and he designs it, and then I go in there, and I look at it, and my initial feeling was, I don't really feel this. I'm not really feeling this thing. you know? But I don't want to seem uncool, and I get insecure, and then I'm like, well, what if we maybe did this? And I'm trying to tweak it, and then he sort of tweaks it. We work on it for a little bit, and then he's like, all right, how's that? And then, and I still didn't really love it. But by this point, I had already had like 15 milligrams of weed, and I'm like super blazed. And now I'm like, I don't want to disappoint him. He's too handsome. I feel like intimidated by this guy. I've waited 6 months, and now I get on the fucking table, and he spends 4.5 hours tattooing something on my arm that I kind of didn't want. And so my insecurity is permanently stamped on me. And for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I was in a state of depression. I'd look at him, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, I fucking put shit on my body I don't even love. I was like freaking out. And now it's whatever. You know, I've gotten over. It's been years now.
Yeah, but you don't love it.
No, I don't fucking love it. I don't love it. I mean, for a while, I didn't even take my shirt off because I was like, ugh. I was embarrassed for my family, and my friends make fun of me. And I mean, it was a whole fucking thing. And to be clear, he is an incredible artist. This was my fault. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, the tattoo itself is really beautifully done.
It's yeah, just but not, it doesn't fit you. That's the problem with the tattoo as far as I see it.
100%.
It feels like it's a tattoo that should be on the shoulder of Quint from Jaws. Like, it's very old school, hard maritime, like
it's honestly, if it needed to be more that way, to me it's an anchor that looks a bit like a chandelier. You know, so
yeah, because the hooks come up too far. It looks like a chandelier.
They come up too far. There's like a point where I'm like, why? I was like, oh, fuck, dude. And I got it. And now it's on my body forever. You know what I mean?
And that didn't scare you straight?
That was my last tattoo. But I want to get more. I wanted to get more even surrounding it. You know what I mean? Then I'm building out sort of a shoulder and part of my arm. But I'm also an actor, and I don't want to have to sit in the makeup chair for 8 hours covering tattoos.
Right.
You know, I look at Ryan Phillippe, who's an actor, and he's got a whole sleeve. Like, what does he do? Does he have to sit in the makeup chair for 9 hours covering that shit? Like, I don't know.
Or don't you just wear, is there anything you can wear to cover that where it's like, it just looks like.
No, no, not as an actor, like a sleeve or something. Like,
yeah, just like a skin colored sleeve.
That's probably just too obvious. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues. But anyway, my point is this is what I have to work on. And that was a big lesson for me, is like not speaking up, not saying, hey, dude, like, you know, I'm just not feeling it right now. Like, let's revisit this maybe in another couple months or whatever. I'm like, it's just, I'm not vibing. Like, let's figure this out. Instead, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, it's great. And just being an idiot and being insecure, not wanting to disappoint, not wanting him to not like me, him being too handsome. In all of these things.
So if the guy was ugly, you would have been like, yeah, no, it would be this
different.
Is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a little bit
that
different.
That part of it's a little strange to me. But I think...
Well, he was just intimidating. You know, he was tall, like super handsome.
Okay, we got it.
You know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah, we got it.
He was cool. He was too cool.
He was too cool for you to say, this isn't good enough for me, or this isn't me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And I feel like, and I've never read the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or whichever that, I think that's the way, that's the right title of that book.
You got it.
But I do think there's something, without getting into a lot of trouble right now, but I'm surrounded by women. I've always been surrounded by women in my family. My sister runs my office, basically. You know, I've been married twice. I've got two daughters. My assistant is a female. And so I've always been surrounded by women, and I've always been taken by their ability to call something what it is, as opposed to me, you know, even something as simple as ordering, you know, a latte at a restaurant, even a plain old cup of coffee, and it comes back and it's not that hot. Instead of me going, hey, can you do this again? Or, you know, this isn't very hot. I'll just drink it at lukewarm temperature. Whereas other women in my life, except for my daughter Trudy, she's like me in this category. She'll just drink it and not want to make a thing out of it.
Dude,
but every other woman in my life's like, Michelle's like, this isn't hot. Can you? And but not in a way that. And those people don't have any ill will toward her after that transaction. She does it great. She's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I am just willing.
It makes sense. It's you get a coffee. It's not hot. It's not the waiter's fault or whoever. It's like, oh shit, yeah, okay, cool. But I'm like you. That happened this morning. That happened 2.5 hours ago or 3 hours ago, whatever. I went and had breakfast and I got a coffee, and it was not hot enough. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna drink it. Same thing, you know.
That's why you have to preempt. I'm the same way. So I have to almost go, like the other night, I'm a huge soup person. I know that's odd. It's a weird thing to admit.
I love soup too, Joe. I love soup too.
Maybe that's our connection and we just never identified it.
I'm gonna let you tell the story real quick, but I'm not even just fucking around. Like, I really love soup to the point where I have, you know, I'm alone in Albuquerque, so I'm just sort of heating shit up. I'm not really cooking. I have mainly soup in my refrigerator that's been pre-made, and I just sort of throw it in a pot and heat it up.
One of the most underrated foods of all time. I get back from a game at 11:30 at night. I don't care if it's in the middle of the summer. I don't care. My comfort is to go back to a hotel room and order soup. I don't know why. Soup and a glass of wine and go to bed.
And dude, what if you and I opened a soup kitchen? You know what I mean? Like, it was me and you, and we just did a restaurant, high-end, small, and it's just all amazing soups, like 20 soups on the menu, and like incredible wine. That's it. And salad, maybe a salad.
And video games.
Well, of course.
Yeah, like Pac-Man, like old stuff, Galaga, Donkey Kong.
But for real, wouldn't a soup, like a cool soup place?
Did you ever watch the show? I don't know if it was originally on Showtime. I think it was that my friend Adam Scott is in, called Party Down. Have you ever seen that? That's what the main guy, who's, you know, really funny and in everything, I can't think of his name, is trying to open. That's why he's running this business. He wants to open a chain of soup restaurants or be a franchisee of the soup restaurant. It's a great show for those of you who haven't seen it. I think it's great. I think it's funny. But yeah, I'm in. So I love it. And what I started to say was, here's the story. It takes 1 second. I just say, I'll have the lobster bisque, and can you do me a favor and just make sure it comes out smoking hot, instead of get it, take a sip, and go, this isn't hot enough. Can you take this back? Because I'm just certain that there's saliva in that soup when I get it back.
Yeah. No, it's smart. You preempt it. It's a smart play.
But I'm that way with my credit card. Like, I have this buddy who's listening to this podcast right now, who is a doctor who works on my neck and whatever. I don't know where my credit card statement is with him. I don't know if I owe him money. He has my credit card. Maybe this is my roundabout way of saying, Tyler, what do I owe you, and should I feel weird that you can just randomly charge my credit card with whatever you want to charge? Because I feel like it becomes confrontational, and that's not how I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to get in anybody's way. That you and I should not be that way. But I have male friends that aren't that way. They'll be like, hey, you know, would you charge my card? And this is too much, and this isn't enough. Whatever.
God. I'm the same way, Joe. It's so crazy. I just dealt with this yesterday because I have someone helping me with these houses because I'm not going to be here to sort of help design them. And one girl is a landscape sort of designer. And we're talking on the phone about what we can do and how awesome it's going to be and blah, 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 and all the stuff. And I know that it's coming to this point where I got to ask what she's going to charge me. And I hate it. I'm like, oh God, here we go. And then finally the conversation's coming down, you know, winding down. I'm like, so, you know, before we get really too deep into this, like, what do you charge? Like, what are your fees? You know? And I'm
like, this is like Larry. You look like Larry David when you do that.
What, you know, I don't want to,
I'm not trying to be confrontational, but just, do I owe you $1 million or do I owe you $1,000?
Well, there was one person before her who charged me a certain flat fee. And I was like, oh God, that seems like a lot. And I questioned it over email. I said, well, you know, here's the 30%, you know, usually is the going rate. And if we did 30% on the budget, it comes out to less than what your flat fee might be. Is there any way we can sort of maybe take away some of your tasks to bring down that price or whatever? And then I get an email back like, I don't think this is working. I'm going to pass on the project. I'm like, fuck off. Like, what? I'm just like trying to negotiate something or ask a question. I mean, she was nice about it, honestly. She's like, well, you know, I hope you do find someone great and blah, blah, blah. But she was like just over it. Like immediately.
I don't understand that. I don't understand people who, and I guess on one hand, there's a principle and there's a level. On the other hand, why would you ever flush business if the other person's willing to work with you and say, for X, Y, and Z, you know I pay this. For X and Y, I'll pay this.
Yeah. I found out actually that she's already wealthy. So I don't think that it matters too much. You know what I mean? I think that this is a passion. It's a passion job for her.
Well, then she should do
already
it for free.
Has wealth.
I would think it would work the other way. If she liked you enough to go, hey, I like this Oliver Hudson guy. Dawson's Creek was amazing. And there's that word. I want to do this and I'll do it for free. You know, there are certain things that are now out there in the public. I think we've gone down this path before, but we've done a podcast long enough to where two things that I'm realizing, maybe it's just the NFL speak, but also in the political conversations that you see on television, there's two things that are said in political conversations that drive me crazy, and there's something that's said in the NFL that's now become league-wide that when I read quotes from players, it just drives me nuts. So in the political spectrum, everybody that makes a point, with the exception of Bill Maher, who's right
says
now.
Right?
Well, that's the second part, is okay. They start things with look. So, and that's just a time kill. Instead of saying, and I feel like we've done this on this podcast before, but it's gotten to just this crazy level that is just, it's a runaway train and it's never going back, where people go, look, the Republicans are a party that, look, it's like, you don't need that. You did just say the Republicans are a party, or look, the president on January 6th, just say the president on January 6th and go. Okay, that's part one. The other one's right. And my wife does that all the time. And I know we have said this before, but you're asking somebody in the middle of you making a point to have them agree with you halfway through the point to say, like, for instance, if I'm talking about the Detroit Lions, who are 0-8-1, and I've got them on Thanksgiving Day, if I say, so the Detroit Lions, right, they're a team that, and all the while, the other person's now nodding, so they're already agreeing with the premise, even though you haven't gotten it out of your mouth. Yeah. So the word right is wrong. Right is wrong. You can't say.
Well, we had this conversation, but it was in the context of me, the way that I speak, and sort of when I take a think and a pause, and you are getting on me about it a little bit because you're like a word Nazi. You know what I mean? Like
you know what? I am.
You really are.
I'm wrong about all of this. Yeah. No, I am. I am. And I wish I wasn't that way. And I am judgy and I judge people's matters of speech and their patterns and the way that they, like, I could talk like you. I could do your little asides and your throwaways that if I said right now would ruin the podcast for anybody who's been an avid listener of this podcast. If I pointed out the things that you go to all the time, it's over. They would never listen again. I did this to my agent.
Of course they would. No, they wouldn't. What makes me me. That's my quirk. That's my character. I mean, if you watch, I do that a lot. If you watch actors, you know, you watch Tom Cruise in a million roles, or you watch, you know, Hemsworth or whoever, they're playing characters, but everyone has their quirks. They have the way that they deliver their lines. They have a cadence, even within characters that they're playing. There's a certain cadence, you know? So... That's like, what I do, man.
No, I know. I see that, like, with Gyllenhaal, who I consider a friend and been out with many times. Can't get him on our podcast, but We'll save that for another day. His one of his things in his acting is blinking. Like he blinks a lot. Like when he that's part of his character trait that he'll go to a lot.
Yeah.
I said this to my agent. I was like, you know, it's the LA speak. Every agent does it too. They just say, by the way, for no reason. By the way, can I tell you? I mean, this space shuttle thing and this whole Bezos going, by the way, Bezos going to outer space. By the way, now it's Michael Strahan.
Right.
By the way, this is crazy.
Well, Rudd is a very distinct way that he performs, you know, in everything that he does.
So I'm
very distinct.
That's great. You're right. And I've known Paul, and everybody gets tired of me saying how long I've known Paul, but back when I was doing the Cardinals and I was 22 years old, traveling around doing all the Cardinals games on radio, that's when Rudd was starting in LA and he was doing bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and would do the dork dance. That he was known in the circles in, when would that have been, 1991, 92, mm-hmm. as the guy that would you could get for a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, DJ. And mm-hmm. then he would do the dork dance, which is kind of his take on like the Carlton dance from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very similar. And if you watch that thing that comes up on Instagram of him doing all these dances, it's all rooted in the dork dance that I saw when I was 22 years old. and so it is. It's all like an offshoot of the dork dance.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg
That's right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break. And then what about the NFL players? That was the second part to your...
I'm very
grievance.
Proud of you that so none of them will say I. They take the I'm so bad we. And I majored in English. They take the I and the we out of it. So Baker Mayfield, instead of saying, I definitely had a rough game, he'd say, definitely a rough game. Didn't do a good job protecting the ball. Who didn't do a good job? You had a hard time with the wind out there today. You're missing something. And it's every article I read, that's all I do. I have these friggin' articles that I read all day. It's now everywhere in the NFL. Sean McVay does it. Matthew Stafford does it.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield does it.
You're such a stickler. You're a stickler.
It just drives me crazy. I'm sorry. I'm just a
Well, it's kind of cool. There's a cool vibe to it. Like, definitely had a rough game. Didn't protect the ball. You know what I mean? It's sort of a cool vibe.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the first word out of every sentence you could take out. So, yeah, I have all these articles.
Well, I think what's happening, it's becoming learned behavior. You know, they watch. They've been watching this since they were kids. And it's the same speak. You know, it's that sports speak. Definitely didn't do enough to win this game. Defense, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're right. It's just shorthand stuff.
They don't want to go in. They don't want to talk like you're giving a seminar, and maybe they shouldn't. But
right.
But that's how they do it. And it becomes – that's why when you do these interviews, we're at a weird time in our nation that you demand and hope for authenticity from anybody with a microphone in front of their mouth. Mm-hmm. But authenticity coming from that person – leads to like a month worth of crap of answering for what did you mean when you said this? What did you, so therefore everybody just becomes just trying to help them. I'm just trying to help the team one day at a time. I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself.
Yeah.
You know, we're all pulling in the same direction instead of going, yeah, you know, the offensive line stunk tonight. And everybody go, whoa. Meanwhile, the quarterback sacked seven times. I mean, that should be baked in. But if then quarterback Eli Manning takes shot at offensive line, and then it becomes a thing. So, consequently, nobody says anything until they do on Twitter, and then their life's over.
Yeah, I have a thread of like family and friends and a bunch of people, and it's just one of the best threads. You should actually put you on it. We'd have to take a vote, but I think you'd get in there.
No,
but it's so much.
Fuck you. I don't want on it. Don't put me on it. You're not cool
fun.
Enough for me to be on it.
It's so fun, I'm telling you. But anyway, my point is that a lot of people on this thread hate in golf, where everyone is now we. I don't care.
It drove Azinger crazy. He's like, we. Who pulled that shot into the pond? We
right.
or you?
No, or who made the 30-footer to win the Masters? Not we, you, right. So there's always a debate about that, and there's a few people on there that will remain nameless who are just sort of like, this is fucked. What do you mean we? When there's interviews like, yeah, we had a good round today, blah, 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 you know, blah, we. It's like, you were out there hitting the golf ball, but I guess, do we not know what goes into that? Meaning the training, the nutrition, the reps on the range, the caddy being there, the psychology, all of it.
The nutritionist.
There is a team involved.
The
now.
Guy
right.
who drove him to the course that day. No, I know. When you cover golf, which I did for 5 years, not a lot, but for 5 years, you realize these guys are all singular mini corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, I'm going to go do the Patriots game Sunday. So the league mandates that Belichick talks to us, offense coordinator, whoever we pick, 4 or 5 guys, they have to talk to us, not on camera, like for background information. That's a part of the deal. You cover these tour players and they're like, nope. Or, mm-hmm. or they'll talk to you until the sun goes down. I mean, but mm-hmm. it's up to them. There's no mandate because they don't right. really work. They're the CEO. They're the CEO of this mini corporation that's going, we. Instead, I think it's a yeah. way to deflect pressure. You know, it's all of us. Hey, I'm not the one knee-knocking over a 5-footer to win an event. It's we. It's all of us. It's everything we put yeah. into this. And yeah. therefore, if I make it, I'll share it. But if I miss yeah. it, well, I'm really going to share it. You know, well, right. we didn't make the putt when we needed to. And yeah. oh, okay, yeah, no, you yeah. didn't.
Yeah. Well, speaking of golf, that Tiger Woods video was like shot heard around the world. That was so great. That was so great. I loved it. Ugh,
that's is I that cried. That there you go. That's amazing. That's amazing that a guy can drive off a cliff and yeah. somehow live.
Yeah.
And then what? X number of months later, a year later, where are we on that?
Yeah.
He's hitting balls and it's Tiger Woods incredible. And it's his back leg. It's the leg he's pushing off of.
Yeah.
It was shattered and now he's hitting balls and he looks like he could, you know, it's a long way from winning an event.
Here's a prediction and maybe it's already been made, but I'm going to buy one. I predict that the leg sleeve for the right leg is going to come into fashion. And you're going to see amateur golfers, not professionals, but people wearing that black sleeve on their right leg.
Bro, yeah.
I'm going to.
But would you wear it on your right or your back leg since you're a lefty?
Nah, you gotta respect the Tiger. So I'm going to I'd wear it on my right leg.
Now, wear it on your back leg so you can push off it.
You think?
Yeah, and there's another thing. Right. I shouldn't say push off of it. That's a thing my dad used to correct. And maybe I get this all from my dad. That's why this is daddy issues. You don't put
yeah,
two prepositions next to each other. You push off it. You don't push off of it.
Oh. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea about prepositions or anything like that. I don't even know what it is. What's a preposition? Like a of it? Is that
of,
a preposition?
Above.
Yeah.
Over. Yeah,
I don't know. I posted a video of Rio hitting a golf ball,
which was phenomenal. That was amazing.
First
amazing.
Of all, the contact was amazing. Swing looks good, and then the fucking club drop with the face at the end.
How many takes?
I didn't film it. It was one take. I'm in Albuquerque right now. Oh, my wife Erin filmed it and sent it to me.
Where was that?
In Palm Desert. But
your daughter, by the way, my daughter Natalie, the 25-year-old, sent me the video you did on Instagram with Rio on your lap, and I could look it up right now, but for the sake of time, I'd have to turn my phone back on. And I think the only thing she said at the bottom of it when she like directed it toward me was amazing, beautiful child, or it was like stunning child.
Mm-hmm.
She's stunning. And her,
yeah,
man, she's a beauty.
I know. She really is. And her personality is so beautiful and sweet, and she's kind and just fun. I mean, she wakes up happy and smiling. She's like, almost not real, it feels like. You know, Aaron and I talk about that all the time. But so I posted that video and I tagged Tiger Woods, and then I also tagged Nelly Korda. You know, she's the number one golfer
of the two of them. Who got back to you?
Well, Tiger, of course, didn't, but Nelly immediately commented, amazing, with like a clap and
see,
a thing. And
amazing. It was, that was amazing. So there you go.
It was she wrote amazing. That's right. But it was very exciting for me.
Would Rio return coffee if it wasn't hot enough to a barista?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
It's Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for the obvious. Thankful for my family. I'm thankful for these kids and my wife and my mom and sister and everybody involved. But thankful for, I don't know that male friends say that enough to each other. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's an mm-hmm. overgeneralization, but I am definitely thankful for one.
I am thankful for you too, Joe. I'm honestly thankful for this podcast because we were obviously, we've been friends for a long time, but it's been spotty. Not the relationship or the connection, but just, you know, that on the phone, you're away, I'm away, you're working, you live somewhere else. We see each other when we golf, when we go to Pins and Fins. So I'm thankful for this show because I get to talk to you every single week. And it definitely has increased the reps throughout the week that we have with each other as far as texting and connecting.
So now when we see each other at Pins and Fins down in Cabo or at some golf event, we don't have to catch up for the previous 8 months. We can actually just pick up like we did just talk 4 days ago about your father issues, my daddy issues, and Margo and Josh.
Yes, and I'm also thankful for our listeners, you know. I really am. And by the way, it's growing. We always talk about how, you know, no one listens to this thing, but it's actually picking up. The numbers are picking up, and it's exciting for us. So I'm thankful for our listeners who actually like us and like hearing us talking and maybe get something out of the bullshit that spouts out of our mouth.
Right. And I am too. I'd be an absolute jerk if I didn't follow up and say, of course, I am too. Very thankful for our listeners. I don't know how thankful I am for the compliment, the backhanded compliment that I always get on our reviews of, I always hated Joe Buck, but now I see him in such a different light. I'm so sick of that. You hated me. Hated? You hated
me. That's a strong-ass word. Well, it's funny, the way you talk about amazing and how that gets you, hate is big for me. When someone says hate, when my kids say hate, I do not like it, you know? Unless they mean it, and it actually is it's validated some way. Hate is a strong-ass word
it
for
is.
Me, personally.
And you know? And I need to, now I need, I've realized that I need to watch it around my kids, my little ones, because was getting the boys ready for school yesterday morning, and Blake wouldn't like sit still enough to get his shoes on. And Wyatt turned to his brother and said, "Get your frickin' shoes on." And I thought, well, on one hand, that's not good. On the other hand,
yeah,
it could have been worse.
Yeah, could have been worse. Yeah. How do you parent that?
Oh, I just washed his mouth out with soap. And then I told his mom that she's failing our children because I'm sure they get that from her.
Get your freaking shoes on, Blake. I'm also thankful for Margo and Josh who make this thing run. We always just, we get on the mics and we just talk. But, you know, the man with the parrot and the lady with the tongue ring, they're the ones who actually make the engine go.
Yeah, they do. They're the ones. They're in the back grinding like doing the turn handle, mm-hmm. the crank. They're turning the crank.
Oh, they're shoveling coal into
just
the furnace.
Coal, and then they just keep turning and turning. Then eventually, yeah. once they get up enough momentum, then our mouths open and words start coming out.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Little do people know, that's how our podcast actually operates. We have people shoveling coal into a furnace to make the whole thing run.
It's weird, but it works for us.
It works for us. We do old school. It saves us a little money, too.
Yeah.
Let's finish, though, with Juggernaut with Josh. Okay?
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Juggernaut with Josh, but Joe, do you have a question?
Me?
Random?
I thought you were going to revisit the running.
Well, we
question.
Can. We can do a two-parter. Hey, Juggernaut with Josh. We got a two-parter this week with Juggernaut with Josh. Number one, we've got to revisit the old question. Josh, have you ejaculated since last week?
This is a bad time to ask me. It's just a bad time.
Thank you, Josh.
I just got my COVID booster, my booster vaccine.
Attaboy, I'm proud of you. That's okay. Good. I'd rather you get your booster shot than what Oliver's asking you. So good for you.
No, I'd rather you ejaculate. All right, Juggernaut with Josh, thank you for participating.
Yes.
All right, I love you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a good one, Josh. You know, I pray for your ejaculation this week. You know, we will be updating every week. Margo, thank you for everything that you've done in this last year. We love the shit out of you.
All right, have a nice time buying up property. I'm going to go work out.
Go pump it out.
Okay, bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margo Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.